All right, so joining me this morning is Victor Kwame, who's a sports journalist and who also doubles as an e-hailing driver in Port Harcourt. Now, Victor's had a very sad experience. In fact, I think over the past 40 hours, we've had the opportunity to have interviewed him. Our reporters brought in this excerpt. So let's get to listen to this, please.
We're there, and then he came to me, started hitting me, flogged me with the pipes. All of them were coming one after the other. Took my slippers, flogged me, forcefully removed my shirt, was taking off my trousers, my belt caught. He was dragging the trouser, and my back was scrubbing the floor, my elbow, everything. The assault was too much.
So that was the assault. Now, Mr. Kwame also said he was only let go when one of the officers discovered that he was also a journalist.
So the guy who earlier removed the cuffs from me came into the room, and he saw the state I was, and he asked what happened. I told him. So he went outside. The press tag on my vehicle was there. I guess one of them, I think officers saw it, and he went to probably take a look inside my car, because after they let me go, I checked my car. The letters, we're about to play the Swan Cup. So I'm part of the organizing committee. So the official letters to each media house were still in my car. But they were in the pigeonhole. But when I got into my car, they were on the seat. So it looked like someone had already checked them.
Victor is in the studio with me. Victor, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Judah, and good morning, Port Harcourt.
All right, first and foremost, I have to ask about your physical well-being. How are you right now?
Well, recuperating. I'm feeling a bit better, but not optimally, 100%.
Okay, all right. Now, quickly, I'd like to give you about 3 minutes, if you can. Quickly run us through the incident that happened about 4 days ago.
Okay, so in the morning, I just came out for work. I switched on my app, both the Bolt and the Uber, that most of us always have both of them on. So I got the two of them ringing at the same time. I checked and I saw that the Bolt's destination was to Iwofe, while the Uber's pickup destination was at Iwofe. I felt it was a lucky day. I can use one stone to kill two birds. So I called both of them and just planned everything very well. So I picked up the Bolt girl, took her to her destination off Iwofe Road. Pleasant ride. She even left her change, 300 for me. And I came back to pick up the Uber guy who was at Iwofe there too. He was heading to Uniport. I got there, Clifford is his name, picked him up. And one thing on this job is that you are told to always be nice, polite, friendly, and all that.
Yeah.
So from when you make the first call, you could actually tell how the ride would go, the way you respond and the person responds. So I just knew that young guy, it is always going to be a vibe. So we got there, the first thing here, driver, do you have Bluetooth? I say, yeah, sure. And then we started, you know, jamming the music. We're going, discussing from Iwofe through the Obogo Road. So the music was taking a different tone. I told him, let's go back to the Omale, Ajebo Osla stuff. In fact, let me just have your phone and see your track list. Quickly, he gave it to me and I'll just
He obliged
check.
You.
Yeah, he gave me his phone. And
do people know oblige you that kind of request? Because a lot of people are very, you know, protective about their devices these days.
Well, there's a popular saying, a clear conscience fears an accusation, I guess. And also, like I said, we're already at that talking stage, very friendly, and
okay. We're
talking about different things and all that. So we had already established short while, but that relationship is already established. So he gave me, and then I switched to the Omale, Ajebo Hustlers, those ones that I'm more familiar with. So by then, I'd already gotten to the third song when I was the DJ, you know. So the guys were just there, and then they flagged us. We stopped.
What area was this?
Obogoro.
Okay.
Yes, so we stopped. The man asked us to come down. We came down. Clifford went first. I was still standing by my door. So he searched Clifford and asked me to come over to the other side. I came, he searched, and nothing. And then he spotted the phone on my hand, because it was like this.
Okay.
My phone was still out of my hand.
Okay.
So he now said, unlock the phone in your hands. So I had to look. Let my phone be this. I said, okay, let me bring my phone. So I just put my head in the driver, my passenger side. I said, let me remove where I brought, dropped mine. That was when his hand just brought me back from my collar. His hands were on my collar.
He dragged you?
Yes. So as I just carried my head up, my cheek was met with a resounding slap. I was shocked, like it was unprovoked. I said, "Officer, what can I do?" He says, I said, "Unlock the phone in your hand." I said, "But that is not my phone." In fact, it was at that point I even let him know that it is not my phone. He said, "Who has it?" I said, "Look at the person." The boy admitted this is his phone. He said, "Why is it?" I said, "I was using it to play music. The Bluetooth device, because my own Bluetooth is the detachable one.
Okay.
It's not inbuilt. It's not, so it is even still visible where you plug it in.
Yeah, it shows the digits, the frequency that it's connected.
Yeah, 98.3. That's where my own is.
Okay.
And then the device is also still there where you put the charger.
Yeah.
So it is still visible. You could have even checked to see if True were using the phone to play music. And then another slap met me after that explanation.
So you were slapped twice?
Twice, on the spot.
Unprovoked?
On the spot, unprovoked. Okay. On the spot. And I asked him, "What did I do? Why did he slap me?" He said, "Why did he raise my voice at him and all that?"
Okay. Now, Victor, I need to ask you, because apart from professional courtesy, let us be as honest as possible. Were you in any way rude to this police officer?
If there's something I've also learned over the years, never argue with a man with a gun.
So this officer had a rifle.
He had his rifle on. I mean, you could see they are like not the usual police guy. They had some had beards, like serious beards all over and all that, heavily built as well.
Okay.
This other person was huge, and some of the other guys he was with too. One had beard and he was huge, like he was. You know that this person they train. So even physically, I would even fear him. There's no way I would even argue with such a person because he would beat me.
Okay.
True. So in that instance, now to just lower your voice and mellow down. But he didn't sit well with him. He said, "Why was I with his phone?" That was when he made the statement that both drivers are fond of. I said, "But this is not the case. This is the person here. Ask him if the phone is his. Have you asked him?" The man got angry that what I want to teach him in job. That's when he dragged me across the road, because we're on the other side of the road. We crossed the road to where their van is.
So he dragged you on the ground?
No.
Okay. Holding your...
Yes, he held my clothes.
Okay.
And then dragged me, both me and Clinton.
Okay.
And then before we knew it, in a split second, cuffs were on both of us hands. And he was pushing us.
Well, was there any allegation levied?
At that point, I wasn't even asking... What
did
I do?
Did they tell you what they were suspecting you of?
Nothing.
Nothing was found on you?
Nothing.
No hard drugs?
Nothing.
No guns?
Nothing.
Human head?
No.
Stolen chickens?
He didn't even search the phone to even see what was even on the phone at that point in time. He just took us across the road with cuffs on our hands. We were like criminals already in his eyes. And then he bundled us. He wanted us to climb into the van. And if you know that kind of military vehicle where they have these, heavy assault rifles always in the at the center,
okay,
where they hold. So,
because
of that thing is in the middle, it is very difficult to see, because he wanted us to sit on the floor. Clifford sat down, but I told him that because of my size, I can't go down. So let me just stand. I'm already with cuffs. I won't run and leave my car for you. I can't even run with Clifford cuffed to me. So let me just stand while Clifford is sitting down, because I can't go into that spot. This man brought out stick from inside the van and took a swing at me. I had to block it with my hand. That was when the first Michael and Gallop, that was when the first Gallop on my hand showed up.
That's what you're showing me right
now? Yes. So I had to block it.
So that's a defensive injury?
Yes.
Right,
so I had to block it. That was when one of the guys came and then told him he should chill and all that. He said, "The boy, the challenger, you know, hungry, climb up, you know, hungry, sit down for this." I told him, look at the space, look at my size. I can't go into this spot. Let me just stand. One of his guys, who is light-skinned, probably must have also seen the press tag. That was the first time he noticed it. So he came over and asked the question, "Who is this press man here? Who is the press man?" I raised up my hand and said, "It's me." He now asked me to bring my hand, and he released the cuffs. At that point, I thought maybe any of them could just come and probably ask what happened and all that. He only released the cuffs and then took my side of the cuffs to hook on the van. So only Clifford was cuffed to the van. Then I was still standing there.
Okay, all right. So we're getting to hear Victor's ordeal with the police. And I have a question today, because when the story, and it has gone viral, a lot of people have been asking if there should be a call for the reduction of arms given to policemen. We'll talk more when we return.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Yes, welcome back. 92.3 Nigeria Info. Hello, Port Harcourt. My name is Jude. This morning, we're talking about complaints from the police force here in River State. We got some during our eyewitness report, and it's been coming on for about 6 weeks now, and it doesn't seem to abate, particularly in certain areas where the eyewitnesses that have sent their message across are claiming that some of these police officers will collect money from the bus drivers. Now, if you follow the trends online, particularly the PROs who are now more active online, a lot of them accuse you, yes, you, the citizen, of aiding and abetting in that crime. That if you refuse to give any money to any of these police officers, you would have done the country a whole world of good and then report. But that doesn't seem to happen. It doesn't seem to, as it were, convince people to, you know, report these police officers or even, as it were, reject the extortion drive. But, you know, this morning we're talking about the human rights violations by some policemen in River City. Now, the question, following another attack, human rights violation against a person here in Port Harcourt, is this. My question is this. Would you support the reduction in the number of officers bearing arms on the streets? Now, following the clip that came through some of the social media pages here in Port Harcourt, somebody and some people I spoke to said, look, that the guns, the rifles should be given to special forces within the Nigerian police force. So those people who are going to be directly involved in maybe counter-terrorism or maybe kidnapping response, you know, and things like that. But for those officers who will be on patrol, who are meant to just carry out stop and searches, that maybe it's time that the government reviews the distribution of munitions to these individuals. I don't know if that sits well with you. There are pros and cons to this because, as you know, some Nigerians have physically assaulted other paramilitary officers who obviously didn't have a gun. For example, FRSC. That doesn't happen very often, but it has happened. So imagine if a police officer doesn't have his rifle, you know, and he's trying to tell you move to this place. Some people may not obey. I don't know. But that's the conversation on social media people are beginning to have this morning. We'll get back to my guest and we'll get to find out what exactly has transpired and the way forward on this matter. My name is Jude. Welcome to Hello Port Harcourt. Victor joins us once again. Victor, good morning. Thank you once more.
Yeah, good morning to you, Jude.
All right, now, so you've shown me the defense bruise on your left arm. I do believe there's another one on your right.
Yeah, if
you
the can scar is still there.
Okay, so the scar is still there. Yeah. You've had that treated?
Yeah.
Okay, and the question we have to go on as we continue is, when you got to the police station, because eventually you were taken, your car was taken as well.
Yes.
What transpired?
Well, we got to the station and we were asked to sit on the floor. Three of us, because they got one other guy. They were doing their routine stop and search and they got this other person and they felt maybe their time was up and they took three of us in the van. One of the police guys was in my car driving. So all of us went to the station. So we got down and immediately we reached the station. The man who was hitting me gave me my phone to end the ride because the Uber ride was still on, so it usually gives direction, turn left, turn right, go forward and all that. So probably it was still making noise in the car because I was still thinking opportunity for me to call someone. No one knows I was going there. So immediately he gave me the phone. It was distracted a bit with one other officer, so he says end the ride and give me back the phone. Immediately I went to my dialed calls, the last saved number on my phone. I just saw it. I didn't think, but I just knew that since the number was saved, I just sent a message that SOS, call Mr. China. I'm at SAS office. SAS carry me. So I sent a message to the person.
But there is no SAS. SAS has been disbanded.
Yeah, but everybody knows that place as SAS office.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's okay. A popular, the place is already called SAS Road. Okay. So once you tell people SAS office, they already know where you're heading to. So I just sent it and then quickly ended the trip and then gave him back the phone. And we went inside the first building on the right, uncompleted building. When we went there, one other policeman was taking the statement of one other elderly man also. So they asked three of us to sit on the floor, a few meters apart from each other. A few minutes later, one of the guys from his team called Clifford. He was taking his statement. Then he himself was taking the statement of the last person that joined us.
So what exactly were the accusations that needed statements to be taken?
Nothing. They didn't tell us our charge, nothing. They just took us there and they were taking statements from Clifford. But I was listening. So when it got to the point of the phone switching hands, Clifford told them exactly what I said, that he gave me the phone willingly. Now, the man left where he was sitting down because on the bench, three policemen were sitting on one side, then three suspects on the other side. So he was still sitting on, let me say, to my right. He left where he was, stood up, turned around to where Clifford was, picked the pipe that was already positioned in the building, and then hits Clifford twice on his back, heavily, that he should tell him what happened, mixing up, that is not what happened. He wanted to swing the third one. That's when I was already sitting down. I say, Oga, what do you want me to tell you? What he said was exactly what I said. I mean, if you've been doing this for a while, you should know when two people are lying. There will be discrepancies in their stories.
Yeah.
But in this case, it is exactly what he said. I said verbatim. That should tell you it is what happened. So why you the bitter? What do you want here? That infuriated him. That was when he charged at me. He took me down in one full swing. I was already on the floor. I stood up, but the way he took me down, I was on the floor in no time.
Mm.
And then he was slapping me. My slippers came off. He used that one as weapon. He went back to get the pipe. And that's when he started swinging the pipe at me. I stood up. He said I should sit down. He was hitting me, so I was just blocking it. All my mind was, let it not get to my face or my head.
Yeah.
So I was just trying to defend myself. And then with each blow that strike my hand, you know, my hand just gallop, in short. Let me just use that word. It was a terrific experience. At that point, he kept on threatening that I will see my mouth is sharp, this and that. He said I should take off my clothes. Before I could even think, he took the clothes. I was wearing a white polo shirt. He took it off himself, went straight to my trousers, removed it from underneath my waist, but the thing got stuck at my ankle. So he resorted to dragging it. And while he was dragging it, I was being dragged across the floor as well. The floor was rough. It wasn't even cemented very well. So that was how I got the injury on my right elbow. And he took it off, threw it somewhere. So I was down to just my pants, my white pants. That one even annoyed me very well because it
was, and all of this, there were still no allegations levied.
Nothing.
To you and to your...
To Clifford, nothing.
Okay, now, I do know that you have had contact with the PRO,
yes.
The police, public relations officer here,
yes.
In Port Harcourt.
Yes.
You've made a formal complaint?
Yeah, I told her, when I called her first, she told me she was in a meeting. Then she said she was in a meeting, and then she called me back later, and I told her everything. So she said I should report to the force headquarters in Moscow, the Human Rights Department, that they will attend to my case. I said, okay, I'm presently out of town. That when I return, that will be the first thing I'll do.
Why did you leave town?
I left on business. It was urgent because the incident happened on Friday. I couldn't go anywhere throughout that Friday, throughout that Saturday. But on Sunday, I had an urgent client who had been calling me a day earlier that he needs to get to somewhere. And some of the clients I have, it's a far distance, they believe they could trust me in terms of driving, so they don't want to go with any other person.
Okay.
I even offered to get him somebody, says no, that he'll wait for me to get myself a few minutes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, urgent business, obviously, you have to make money. Now, your medical expenses so far, you have incurred it yourself. You've done what?
Yeah, I have.
All right. Now, we're going to wrap up now. We're going to open the phone lines. And the question, you know, that we have asked this morning is about the assigning of arms to some members. Some people, after seeing the video, some of the clips that have gone around social media, some people are saying that it's not every policeman that should be giving a gun. Some are saying only those who are going on special assignments, maybe stop and searches and things like that. So we'll find out from our listeners this morning. The number to call, 070-0923-0923, 0973-0923-0923, 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0007, and 0817-923-0009. At Nigeria Info PH is where you find us on social media, Facebook and Twitter, at Nigeria Info PH. Another case of human rights violations. NSARS was 2 years ago. Just over 2 years ago, people have been complaining that it's like lessons have not been learned. No actual accusation in the case of Victor here. He was beaten. I can still see the bruises on his arm. And it's not the first time. What exactly needs to be done to change this narrative? 92.3, good morning, please.
Hello?
Good morning. Good morning, please.
Morning. I really sympathize with that young man there. And I want to really tell Nigerians, the human rights activists, so many people in River State, I think what I have really explained to me is really unacceptable, touchable. Somebody who just wake up because you're a policeman who do injustice to Nigerian citizens. I think let him take it up, no matter how place the policeman is going to be, because I have done business within the South Road there. I know what Nigerians are passing through. I know what people are passing through in the hand of this patch. Opposite that market there. People are going to hell because people do not have a voice. People do not have a voice. Please, my brother, whatever thing that will make, even though it's your last card, that man should brought to book. In any way, in any form, that man should drop to book. This is Nigerian police. We pay them with our taxpayers' money. We pay them for them to protect us. Now they are not against us, against people that is doing legitimate business in this society. Sorry for what really happened. A lot of Nigerians are passing through this. I passed through this too, in one way or the other. That this man should not go free. The lawyers listening. The journalists listening, it is right time for we to stand for injustice. Because if we don't stand for injustice, what about our children? What about our relatives? What about our people that is concerned? People are dying in the SARS custody. No person is talking. No person is even want to do it. No person is even the commissioner is not. When the man was beating you, I think they have hierarchy officer there. They did not even intervene. Ask me what have these guys done. They are only just for you.
Okay, thank you very much. And he raised a very important question there. Whilst being detained, did you get sight of any senior officers?
I know there are, it's one man who was on uniform, but his shirt was open. Well, I've noticed it's maybe a higher ranking officer went in, came out. But at every point in time in that building where there were at least 5 to 7 policemen present, some were even mocking me. There was one that was taking this, the person we met first that was taking statements, told me, say, this one has small. Now, when he enters, say, Ligo, no. You know, so they were all just like, they were enjoying it. I felt maybe all of them, it's something that they do regularly. So this person can't tell this person to stop because he has done it before. Now, they made 2 chilling statements that at some point I even felt if I came out of there, I wouldn't feel safe. Before we left Oboguru, as we were about leaving, the man that was sitting on the edge of the vehicle, I asked him, officer, we want to carry us go so that in case I want to make call, I will tell them. You know what he said? He said, will they carry on and go SARS office rather than kill people? He said that with a cheeky smile, verbatim. That's exactly what he said. And I asked him, what he will do when I won't go kill us now? And I said, that's one when probably realized that he made a very silly statement. He said, that's so easy to keep person, one and no fear. Then while we were at the office, while the assault was going on and everything, my tormentor in chief told me that if not night, info don't waste me and nothing will happen because none of his colleagues know where he stays. Now that is an indictment on the police. This man told me that everybody on his team does not know where he lives. So even if he does anything to me, nobody will find him. that after he leave police station, come out, nobody knows where they go because nobody knows his house. Now I begin to wonder, how come this man is working for a security agency and nobody knows where he lives?
Well, it's possible that maybe that was all there was for sure. Maybe a psychological way to
well, he succeeded because even
no,
till now.
No, obviously he did succeed, and I don't blame you for even, you know, believing that. I'm all holding brief for him because I know that they keep records. You know, you don't go into an establishment like that without them knowing where you are meant to be living and a bit of history. But yes, I do understand your concern and your worry. And who knows? Who knows? Maybe he was right. Maybe they
true. There was no way for me to ascertain it, but I just had to believe.
I totally understand. My number three. Hello, Port Harcourt. Good morning, please.
Yeah, Mr. Zion, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So the survivor there, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Zion.
Yeah. You see, when this entire protest came, I choose not to join. Because it was a baseless movement. Baseless. The last ingredient that should form this movement was not brought to the fore. Oh, pay them salary, give them welfare, give them that. Is that the problem of Nigerian police? And I want to credit one of our comrades, the Radio Senator Andrew Ajayi, who has campaigned for attitudinal change. That is all what the Nigerian police need.
Okay. All right, we're running out of time, but let me ask you now, because of this young man's experience, some people have been calling for a reduction in the ammunition distribution along
the police. If you give the policeman tasers now, they will chase everybody in this country. Whether you are a chicken or you are a goat, as long as they come and force you, the forces will tase you because they know you will not die.
But wait, hold on. But isn't that better than, you know, giving people guns? Because like he said, you don't argue with a man who has a rifle. And a lot of Nigerians feel that way. A lot of Rivers residents feel that way. You don't argue with a man with a rifle.
But that is the wrong mentality.
Is it now?
In case we are talking about the shooting stories, you know how many electromagnetic waves they are putting into your system? In fact, he has called the spokesperson, and I don't even like that response. Go and meet the human rights. She's supposed to stand there to receive this guy.
Hold on, Zion. So you don't misdirect it. There's a human rights office at the police station. There are policemen.
That's who, right. Yes,
there are policemen who will take the case, and that's where it will follow. It's not like she's saying
we're not. We are not ready to reform the Nigerian police. All this we are doing is a wash. If she truly wants to sanitize the Nigerian police, she should be there. Meet me by 9 o'clock in my office and take this matter up front. She's the one that's going to hand him over to the Human Rights Commission of the Human Rights Department. See, until we start to deal with this matter squarely, the kind of people we recruit into Nigerian police and into arm-bearing organizations in this country, they will never learn.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Zion. We're almost out of time here. Obviously, 45 minutes is never going to be enough to talk about this. But you've taken a very bold step. It's a very brave one. You've come publicly, you know, to state that this is what we do get a lot of these comments and complaints. Like I said, even today. So once again, you are saying you're going to make formal complaints.
Yeah.
You would like to prosecute and get as much justice as you possibly can.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Our empathy goes towards you as we get in comments and calls on the subject matter. Victor Kwame has been my guest this morning. Thank you very much, Victor, for coming through.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Okay. All right. Now, we'll wrap up this morning once again as a reminder. It doesn't seem to abate, and it's not something that anybody should fold their hands to. Freedom means supremacy of human rights everywhere. Our support goes to those who struggle to gain those rights or keep them. Our strength is our unity of purpose. To that high concept, there can be no end save victory. Franklin D. Roosevelt. Whoever you are, policeman, policewoman, there's a lot of pressure. I understand. But human rights should not be violated. And that is what the average reverse person just wants, to be treated with dignity. My name is Jude. Hello, Port Harcourt ends this morning.